But it definitely got to our hearts, amen? And praise the Lord for good songs like that, that back up doctrine and teach us about the Lord and so forth, and things like that. Anyway, I guess that's sermon number one. Sorry about that. But anyways, Acts chapter 27, and leave your Bible open today, because we're going to, we won't read the whole chapter, but we will bring some points out of most of it. And the title of my sermon today is, What to Do When a Storm Comes. What to do when a storm comes. And of course, you know, we're going to experience storms, and that's regular storms, you know, as far as wind, snow, maybe hail, things like that, ice and things like that. We're going to experience storms in life as far as physical storms, but we also can have spiritual storms in our life. And again, just like, you know, the news, you know, tells us what's going to happen. Tomorrow it's going to be like this, what it's going to be like this. Some guys down in, you know, Florida, you know, they had the reputation of whatever they said was going to happen, just do the opposite, and you would probably be safer. But anyway, you know, it's a study, and you know, they know some things are coming and so forth. But you know, down in Florida, we had hurricanes come through, and of course, you know, when there was a mention of one, you know, the eye out there, you'd go to the grocery store, there would be no bread, no water. Nothing, you know, because everybody was, they were trying to prepare for the storm and things like that. And then some people, you know, they wouldn't do anything. And most of the time, those guys were the right ones, where we live anyway. And but you had to be prepared, because you didn't know, and so forth. So same thing here. We're going to see Paul and some other men in the middle of a storm. And what they should have done, or what they did do during the storm, things like that. So that's what we're going to look at today, is what to do when a storm comes. And let's look at Acts 27, verses 13 and 14 is what we'll read, and we'll kick it off. It says here in verse 13, "And when the south wind blew softly," and so again, that's not a storm. The south wind was just, it was a nice, comfortable breeze, and it was coming from the south. And usually when it's coming from the south, it brings warmth. It brings, you know, a calm and things like that. So when the south wind blew softly, so everybody was, this is a great day. This is comfortable. This is awesome. This is how I wished it was all the time. And then it goes on to say, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But then verse 14, and this is what happens. Sometimes it is smooth sailing, but... Verse 14, "But now, not long after, there arose against the tempest a wind called Eurylochon," and Eurylochon. And so, again, we see here in one verse, soft, smooth wind, very comfortable, everything going perfectly. Then one verse later, I mean, boom, and so forth. And so that's the way it is out there in life physically. We can go from a beautiful day to a horrible day in just a day. So same thing with our Christian life. Everything could be going along smooth. Everything, I mean, praise the Lord, this is awesome. This is just like I would hoped it would be, and everything is perfect. And then one day later, maybe even 1 hour later, boom. So again, we're going to experience storms, so we have to be ready for them. So what to do when a storm comes? Let's have a word of prayer and we'll begin. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. And thank you for the Bible, and thank you for you know, preserving these stories so that we could learn from them. And then obviously these men, they were trying to serve the Lord, and everything was going great. And then all of a sudden a storm came, and Lord, we see in this story, Lord, what you taught them and how you led them through it. And so we just ask you to help us, Lord, to be prepared for whatever storm might come our way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, go around, the sky is falling. I'm not trying to put that out there to you. You know, like, you know, it's a great day. Yeah, but it could, don't be a negative Nelly and things like that. But if it does come, we ought to be ready for it. So four areas of life that we are either in a storm, or we just came out of a storm, or we're just going to head into a storm, or praise the Lord, it's smooth sailing. That's the only four options that we have. We're either right dead in the middle of, I didn't see this coming. How can I handle this? Lord, what is going on? Or, whew, praise the Lord, he brought us through that. Or, man, did you hear what's going on in Israel? Did you hear what's going on politically in our world today? Did you hear that? Yeah, it's it's about to happen, or it has happened, or it's smooth sailing. And we see here everyone is going to experience that. So storms come to everybody. Even if you are a meteorologist, you still have to experience the storm. And some of those guys, they try to amp it up. You know, they're out there, you know, and they maybe have like 19 fans on so they can, you know, make it look like they're, oh, and they're holding on. And you know, that's just the way reporters do. You know, they'll get on their knees. I'm out here in waist deep water. And then maybe before the camera goes off, they stand up and walk back to their truck. You know, come on. You know, don't try to make it dramatic. Don't try to, you know, just report it. Anyway, so we see here we're either in it, just coming out of it, just fixing to go in it, or we're smooth sailing. So storms come to everyone. So God uses storms to teach. What is He trying to teach? He's trying to teach us to trust Him. What is He trying to teach? He's trying to teach us to listen to Him. He's trying to teach us to grow. Right? So God can use those storms. Again, my dad was a big fella, and he was playing in the softball league one time, and he hit the ball a long ways, and so he's coming around second, coming into the third, and I watched the guy, this was when I was a small child, the guy was looking from center field where the ball was coming for him. He was looking at the ball in the air, and then he was looking at my dad. Then he was looking at the ball in the air, and he was looking at my dad. And again, my dad is huge, and he's running, and dirt's just flying everywhere. And he's like, ball, dude, ball, dude. And all of a sudden, I guess something just happened. You know what he did? He backed out of the way, let the ball go right, and my dad went around and scored, and so forth. And so his nickname on that team was Hemicane, not Hurricane, but Hemicane, because he was huge. So we see here that we can learn from storms. We can be taught from storms. We can grow in the midst of storms. God can use them sometimes to punish us or correct us. Sometimes it's kind of like, you know, that Hemicane that I was just talking about. He would be taking some corrective measures on me. And I never had to wonder why. I knew why. Because I had done what I was getting punished for. So same thing here. When a storm comes, sometimes we can say, you know, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? What do I need to learn from this story? Or sometimes we're like, I know I've been, and we could just go down the list. And God's just tearing me up for it. And we know. So verse 13 says that the soft wind blew softly. God was blowing the wind, you know, allowing the wind to blow softly. Everything was good. So thank God for those smooth sailing times. And it's just because His mercy that we get to go through some of those times. It's just because His grace and His blessing and His favor. So those smooth sailing times, we can learn from that too. God's in control. God's taking care of this. And thank you, Lord, for it. And we ought not get caught not thanking Him for it. So I prefer the smooth sailing. If you gave me the choice of a hurricane or smooth sailing, I'm picking smooth sailing every time. But God is the God of the smooth sailing and the God of the storm. So just because the smooth sailing goes away and the storm is here now, it doesn't mean that God goes away. If He's in charge of the smooth sailing, man, praise the Lord, God is good. This is awesome. Okay? The storm's here, God's still God. We ought to say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you correcting me for? But praise the Lord, you're still here. I know who holds tomorrow. Okay? And so praise the Lord for that. So if God's trying to do this, He's allowed the storm to come for some type of direction, whether it be teaching or whether it be correction in our personal life. Sometimes it's an individual storm. Who was that Peanuts character that walked around with a cloud above his head all the time? Yeah, individually. It was just on him. And so that person might be going through life and it's like, you know, seems like the storm is just coming to me. I'm the only member of Lighthouse Baptist Church that this is happening to. It may be individualized. It may be collective. But it may be in our personal life. Sometimes our home life has a storm. I didn't see this coming. I wouldn't have chosen this. I don't understand this. Again, God's still God. He's either teaching or correcting. Learn or correct it. God's still God of the home storm. Sometimes in church life, everything can be going smooth. We got a smooth parking lot out there with smooth stripes. All right, with smooth bumpers to keep, well, I don't guess they're smooth bumpers, they're bumpers to keep you from going in the ditch. Everything's going great. But I think I've heard ACs have went out before. It would have been, you know, they came and put up the new security lights. There we go, that's what I'm looking for. They put one on that pole down there so it lights up the new parking lot. We asked them to put one on this pole over here to shine towards the playground so the kids can swing at night, amen, and the teens can play basketball at night. And so when I got here, I can't remember what day it was, I think it was Monday this week, I got here and they had put the light on this pole, but it was shining the same way the other light was. I'm like, you think you could swing that around on the other side of the pole so it could shine over that way? That's what I asked the lady on the phone. Oh, they don't ever tell us anything. I was like, well, they actually told me that somebody would call and I could have talked to them and tell them what I wanted, but nobody ever called and things like that. So sometimes things don't go smoothly all the time. But praise the Lord, I called him and he put it over there. But anyway, so we see here sometimes there is smooth sailing. Sometimes there are storms in personal lives, in our home life, in our church life. Obviously, we could talk about that in America. So it may come from a vicious enemy, that storm might come from. But it could come through a trusted friend. Storms can come from anywhere. It may come from the loss of a loved one. It may come from a dream that did not come true. It may come from something that you could prepare for, or it may have caught you by surprise. Two verses of Job. And of course, we know Job's experienced in going through storms in his personal life. And it says in Job 3:26, yet trouble came. He was probably sitting there one day at his house, and the Bible says he was. And he's, man, I got 10 wonderful kids. I got a barn full of this. I got the number one donkey and camel in the state. I won it at the state fair. And he's just going down the list. My bank account's full. And boy, God is just awesome. And what did he say in chapter 3, verse 26? Yet trouble came. I mean, wham. So again, sometimes it just comes. And he also said in Job 5:7, it says here, yet man is born unto trouble as sparks fly upward. Again, just like we've said, the sun rises in the east, sets in the west. It's just going to happen. Because of life and because of the devil and because of our flesh and because of this world the way it is, yet man is born unto trouble and sparks fly upward. I saw it out here at the fall festival that we had. Some of you smoke and sparks just follow you. Wherever your chair was set up around the little fire pit there, that's just where the sparks and the smoke was going to come. You're over there. And then nobody wanted to sit by you. Why? Because all the smoke and the sparks came right toward you. So that's what Job's saying. You know, it could be going good. But again, it's not something that just happened to you. God allowed it. So Paul said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. 2 Corinthians 4:8. So Paul experienced storms just like Job did. Of course, Job, he said, though he slay me, I'm not going to talk evil against him. God's God. He giveth, he taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he learned. Okay? And so Paul also learned. Man, I've been in prison. I've been, people trying to kill me. I've been talked bad about. There's trouble on every side. Yet not distressed. God's in control of the storm. So we see here as we're beginning this this sermon on what to do when storms come, realize God's in control. Smooth sailing, God's good and in control. Storm, God's good and in control. Every Christian is going to have storms. Philippians 1:29 says this, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name's sake. So the Bible talks about be not envious the evildoer. Because sometimes a Christian will do right, he will make God happy with his life, and he'll look at this guy that don't even go to church, says there is no God, and it looks like everything's just going easy for them. We don't see them when they go to sleep. They don't have God in their storm. So we see that we have to realize that we got to suffer for His sake sometimes. So Paul wanted, he wanted the storm sometimes. I'm like, what? Why in the world would he want the storm? Philippians 3:10, he was talking to the church at Philippi. He's like, sometimes I want the storm to come. And this is what he said. In Philippians
3:10.
That I may know Him and the fellowship of His suffering. So Paul's mindset was, if I suffer a little bit, I know Jesus suffered a whole lot. And that puts me in a good crowd. I'm keeping some good company. This is what his mindset was. So if I do suffer a little bit, it doesn't compare to what he suffered. And if I suffer a little bit because of his namesake, puts me in a good crowd. 1 Peter 4:12 and 13 says this, Beloved, think not it strange concerning the fiery trial. Man, this is so strange that I'm going through a storm. This is so strange that God has let this happen in my life. Beloved, think not it strange concerning that fiery trial. God calls the wind to blow softly, and He calls it to be tempestuous. God's still in control, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice. I mean, in the middle of the storm, the Bible tells us, but rejoice. In as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, and when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceedingly joy. And we're all like that. If somebody's saying, you know, I had a hangnail, and I mean, it was just catching on everything. Oh, that's nothing. I had an ingrown. All right. Oh, that's nothing. I had a toe removed. All right. So, I mean, it just, you know, again, everybody wants to be partakers of it. And, you know, you should have seen it, or you should have heard it. But that's what it says here in 1 Peter. But rejoice. As much as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, it's going to be revealed. That person made it through the storm and they trusted God. God's going to do that. So what to do when the storm comes? Here's what some people say. Just be defeated. No. Just give up. No. Here's one. Get mad at God and quit. No. Kind of like Job's wife. Just curse God and die. He's like, no, I'm not going to. I know I'm in a storm, but I'm not going to do that. Here's another example or a suggestion. Just blame God and turn your back on Him. No, I'm not going to. What to do when the storm comes? According to the Word of God, we should overcome by the power and the grace of God and use the storm as a stepping stone to loftier spiritual heights. We've got to learn from it. If it's something to be taught, learn it. If it's a correction, fix it. That's what the storms are for. And that's what these men learned. So we're going to look at a couple points here. How? How do we use this storm as a stepping stone to loftier spiritual heights? By spending time with God. We're back in Acts 27 now. We saw in verses 13 and 14 that everything was smooth sailing, everything was going great, and all of a sudden, boom! Eurycleidon here just poked his head up, storm was coming crazy. So what happened? So over in verse 21, it says here that they're in the middle of this storm, things like that. And of course, verses 15 through 18, they're talking about, you know, their opinions. Well, we should have. Or you should have. And so there was blame shifting going on, things like that. And of course, Paul told them, said, hey, look, I looked at the weather report before we left, and I told you we shouldn't leave. And y'all told me that I wasn't a sailor. You know, I didn't know what I was talking about when it come to ships and storms. We've done this our whole life. We got this. And the preacher was telling them, I don't know if I'd do this. And they didn't listen to him because they thought they knew better. We've driven ships everywhere. We've battled storms with our ship. We got this, preacher. Just chillax. So Paul was over there. He didn't go nanny nanny boo boo. You should have listened to me. But that was obvious. You know, the preacher said don't go, and we went anyway. And boom, here's a storm. So that's what was going on. So verse 21 it says here, but after long abstinence. So in other words, Paul didn't say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo, you should have listened to the preacher. Y'all are dummies. I tried to warn you. No, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He went down the ship and started praying. So he was saying, God, it really doesn't matter that I told them they shouldn't, and they did it anyway. It doesn't really matter. Because that's here nor there. It's done. It's behind us. What I need to know is what to do now. So again, I try to learn that principle. If somebody comes to me for counseling, you know, preacher, this is happening in my life, I'm not going to stand up and say, well, you dummy. You know, the Bible said, or I told you, or that's irrelevant. What do we do now? The storm's here. If I would even agree, yeah, preacher, we shouldn't have came. That wouldn't have stopped the storm. they would have still been right in the middle of it. So it's not about who's right, who's wrong. It's not about, aha, I told you so. It's not about that. It's about learning what God's trying to teach me. Now, obviously, if I come into this situation again, I can learn from that last storm. I'm going to listen to the Bible. I'm going to do what God says. I'm not going to put myself in that situation again. But obviously, Job hadn't done that, and the storm still came. So what we need to do is spend time with God. So it says here in verse 21, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth. So in other words, he went and prayed and prayed and prayed. Again, I try to use this principle in raising my kids. My kids, just like your kids, they got on my last nerve and jumped up and down a couple times. All right, go to your room. I'm going to go do some long abstinence and pray that I don't rip your head off. All right, you just go to your room and think about what you've done. All right, Lord, you've given me this kid. He's acting just like his mom. Oh, did I say that out loud? No, just kidding. What do I do? Yeah, I pray a long time. Then it says here, then he went and stood forth. So he didn't come in there and say, what my flesh wanted to say was nanny, nanny, boo, boo. I told y'all not to go. He didn't even say that. He just came in the situation and said, fellas, God's still in charge. We're not off the map. We're not, out of God's mind. God's still in charge. I've been praying a long time here. This is what God says. So after a long time he prayed, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, not you dummies, not you jerks, not you should have listened to me. No, he said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and loose not from Crete, and to gain this harm and the loss. And then it says, and now, though, I exhort you, and be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life among you, but the ship. So he said, during my prayer, God has showed me that everybody's going to make it. Everybody's going to be alive. And so as a pastor of a church, if you're saved, everybody's going to make it to heaven. Doesn't mean we're not going to face storms. It doesn't mean we're not going to have losses, but we're all going to make it to heaven. Okay? Now, the life, this ship, this earth, is going to be destroyed one day by fire, the Bible says. So there's going to be some loss. But if we're saved, we're going to heaven. That's what he's basically saying. God's told me that everybody's going to make it, but this ship is toast. All right, it's done. And so forth. So we see, let me find where I was in my notes here. We see that Paul was not just hiding. He was down there. He was being sincere. He was praying for a long time. He wasn't trying to get away from the storm. He was asking God for His divine deliverance. So when you're in a storm, whether it be a loss, whether it be a situation that you wouldn't have chosen, ask for God's divine deliverance. Say, God, deliver me from this situation. Okay? Obviously, He might not can get rid of it. He didn't get rid of the storm. But he delivered them through the storm. He was also asking for God's divine direction. What do we do next? And we're going to see here in just a minute. He told them to throw some stuff overboard. So we want God's divine direction. Then he was asking for God's divine dependence. Don't let me trust in my sailing skills. Don't let me trust in my own opinion. Let me trust in you. So this is what Paul, when he was down there spending that long abstinence, he was asking, God, deliver us. God, direct us. God, help us to have our dependence on you. I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds it. That's what he was saying. So like Paul and Jacob spent a long time in abstinence of prayer with God. We know the story. Jacob, of course, we know he was known as the trickster. And he pulled a fast one with the help of his mom on his brother and his dad. And he got the birthright. And so then he was hit the road. So now it's come to his attention that him and Esau is fixing to have a meeting. Oh no, last time I saw my brother, I stole his birthright. Last time I saw my brother, I tricked him out of all of his inheritance. He's going to be a little mad. So here comes a storm. In other words, the weatherman was right. You're fixing to have to face your brother. So, but what did he do? Did he go hide? No, he did exactly what Paul did. He went and prayed. Long abstinence. So before you just make rash decisions or before you react, go pray for a long time. Seriously pray. And that's what he did. The Bible says in Genesis 32:24, and Jacob was left alone And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. So in other words, he was in an all-night prayer meeting. So what to do when a storm comes? First thing we see here, several examples of pray. Don't react. Don't say things you'll regret. Don't get mad. Don't forget God. No. Go pray. God, what? I didn't want this storm. Sorry, it's here. God's the God of the smooth sailing. He's the God of the storm. Go pray. So he was there to meet with his brother that he had tricked for his birthright. What are we going to do? In verse 26 it says here, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." So we see here a storm's coming. I'm going to face my brother. God, I need your help. Verse 28 says, and he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." So in other words, you might have to apologize. You might have to say, "I'm sorry." But it says here that for a prince has the power with God, and with man hast thou prevailed. So his name changed. His character changed. Maybe even his testimony changed. So Jacob waited at the throne until God blessed him. Paul waited down in the belly of that ship until God told him what to do. So now we're going to see that they were both strengthened. They were both strengthened by the storm. The Bible says in Isaiah 40:31, very familiar, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall," not might, not hope so, but "shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Even in the storm, if we'll wait on God, get His approval and His opinion before we go forth, we'll mount up with wings. So the storm, we must find the secret place in the prayer. We ought to wait. We ought to wrestle. And we ought to work. Come boldly to that throne. So pray. They were told, some on broken pieces, but all will live. Sometimes when we pray for a long time, we see hard-hearted sinners saved. We pray for a long time, we see this entangled position solved. Sometimes we pray for a long time and we see bodies healed. Sometimes we pray for a long time and we see needs abundantly met. All throughout the Bible, the first thing that people that were successful did when the storm came, they spent time with God. Number two, stand in His presence. Not only spend time with God, stand in His presence. It's kind of like we have several stories in the Bible of, prayer of importunity. In other words, one guy that knocked on the door. "Give me some bread. I got some visitors and I got to feed them. I'm already in the bed. Go away." "I need some bread. Dude, I told you, we're already in the bed. My kids are right here. We're sleeping. Go away. I need some bread." So we see Jacob said, "I'm not leaving until you tell me what to do." So when you face a storm, keep praying. Keep praying. Keep praying. Spend time with God. Stand in His presence. Be there. Look at verse 23. Verse 23, it says here, "And there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose am and whom I serve." So we see that Paul is talking about, I spent a long time down there in prayer. And you know what I found out? That right there beside me all night long was the angel of the Lord. Now the devil will tell you he's not there. You go to your prayer closet and you're trying to pray and you're like, "Lord, I don't understand this situation. Lord, I wouldn't have picked this. Lord, what do I do?" And the devil's going to say, "He's not listening. He's not there. You see, I told you." That's what the devil's going to say. But Paul knew. And we have to, by faith, know. The Bible says that if we go to our prayer closet, He's there. If we have two or three gathered together, He's there. God is there. And so He'll be there all the time. So He said, "Whose I am, and I will serve." A couple of verses on this. Hebrews 13:5. "Let your conversation be without covetous, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." So when the devil says, "He's not listening, Paul. You're down here in the belly of this ship and you're praying and asking God." Paul said, "Get out of here, devil. He's right here all night long. Hey, Jacob, you might as well quit praying and asking God what to do about the mess that you and your brother are in, because God's not listening." Yes, He is. And when the devil tells you, when you're praying beside your bed or in your prayer closet, "Lord, I don't really know what to do with this situation." "Well, see there, I told you, God doesn't care. God's not there." Wrong. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, don't let your conversation be without covetousness. "I wish God would have done this." No, be content. God's got it. But you just know that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Exodus 33:14. I believe we read this Wednesday night. And He said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. So Moses was saying, God, I'll go tell them, or I'll go do this, but if you're not going with me, I'm not going. So what to do in a storm? Realize God will never leave you, never forsake you. Realize His presence is there. Psalm 23:4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, lost a loved one, lost a dream, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Just like that song she played, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know He's going to take care of it. And the rest of that verse says, I know He's going to hold my hand. I know He's going to hold my hand. And it says there, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. What can we do when the storm realizes God's right there with you? He's not going to say, okay, handle it. I'll catch you on the other side. No, He's right there with you. Just like that fourth man in the fire. They said, hey, we're not going to bow. And even if we just sizzle and burn up to ashes, oh well. But they didn't have to do that. They were thrown in the storm of that fiery furnace. And lo and behold, the Bible says their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And the only thing that got burnt was those ropes that they tied them with. That was burned off. And lo and behold, there's a fourth guy in here. So we see God says, hey, if you're in a storm, I'm right there. I don't know that any of us has faced anything like a fiery furnace. It's pretty rough on some of the things that we've went through. I've lost loved ones. I've had situations. But I've never went through a storm without that fourth fella standing right there beside me. And you can have that promise. Stand in His presence. So we see, just like Daniel, I'm not going to bow. And I'm not going to quit praying three times a day. If you're looking for me at this time, and this time, that window's going to be open, and I'm going to be praying to my Savior. Well, you're going to get cast in the lion's den. Oh, well. The storm of the lion's den, you're going to be cast in it? Yeah, I'll be all right. And if I'm supper, oh, well. But if not, He was right there, and He just took that lion's mouth and went, whoop, whoop, I got him, Daniel. Just going to sleep. I got you. We got that promise that He's right there with us. And just like Jeremiah in that miry pit, I'm with you. Grabbed him, pulled him up. And just like Paul in the midst of that storm, when he started praying, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Paul said, God told Paul, I got you. So what do we do in a storm? We spend time with God. Number two, we stand in His presence. Number three, and we kind of alluded into it. Look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall, there's the promise, be even as it was told me. So what am I going to do? Not only am I going to stand in His presence, I'm going to stand on His promises. Standing on the promises. Okay, God's going to keep His promise. He says, I shall. You're going to make it on the other side. So Paul learned to believe the promises of God even when the outward circumstances seemed like it was going to be fulfilled. We're done. We're toast. So kind of like when they got ready to leave, the preacher said, hey, you know, I think we ought not go over to Crete. Well, preacher, we've been doing this a long time. We got you. Now he's in the middle of it. And he said, hey, fellas, I went down in the bottom of the ship and I prayed for a long time. And God said, we're going to make it. Yeah, right. Probably got some of that response. Again, just like I told you before we left, I've been doing this a long time. I've seen storms like this. We're not coming out on the other side. Yeah, you are. God said so. So we see the Word of God. And what God said was even more important than those guys' experiences and their knowledge. Numbers 23:19 says this, God is not man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man, that He should repent. Hath He said, and shall it not, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall not make it good? So God's going to keep His Word. So man might lie to you. Man might say, you know, I just don't see it happening. Or, nope. But God's not going to lie. He told Paul, you're going to make it to the other side. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. So all God's promises are yea. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which is God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So we see that just like God told Paul in verse 25, y'all going to make it. And Paul said, I believe God. So when we go through a storm, I don't understand it, I wouldn't have chose it, but I believe God. That He's allowed it to happen to teach me something. He's allowed it to happen to correct me for something. And I believe God, He's going to do it. Adoniram Judson, a great missionary, obviously went to the Burmese people. And he was hung up by his thumbs and beaten half to death. And was asked, what about your plans to win the heathen world to Christ now? And his answer was, the future is as bright as the promises of God. So if God says it, we can hang on to it. If God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, He's going to be right there in the storm. If He says, I can control the storm, we can count on it. Believe. Stand on His promises. Abraham believed the promises of God. In Romans 4, 20 and 21, it says this, he staggered not. I mean, Abraham had went through some stuff, but it says here, he staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. He just believed God, but was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, but being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was able also to perform it. Abraham said, if God told me, it's going to happen. So Paul believed that same thing when he was praying a long time down there. He said, you're all going to make it. He believed it. So what do we do when the storm comes? Spend time with God. Stand in His presence. Stand on His promises. And here's one, very good for this time of the year. Number four, what do we do in the storm? Say thank you. Say thank you. I thought I would lose some of you there. I get it. We ought to spend time with God. I get it. We ought to want His presence. I get it that we ought to stand on His promises, but say thank you for the storm. There was times that I got a spanking, that afterwards we were talking and I put my arms around my dad and said thank you because I knew I deserved it. So we see here, Acts 27, verse 35. Let's skip on down there. Verse 35 says, and when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And so, of course, we see God told him to get rid of the remainder of the food. They thank God for the meal that they were about to get. So sometimes we're in the midst of the storm. We ought to thank you. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge in every place. So God is in every place. In the calm, God's there. In the storm, God's there. So Paul, whether he was in jail or being persecuted, being beaten, having disappointments, being about to be martyred, he always found a cause to be thankful. So early Christians, in the book of Acts 5, chapter verse 41, it says here, they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name's sake. Y'all are all going to be put to death. Woohoo! That's awesome. Praise the Lord. What? Doesn't make sense. But they were ecstatic. They were happy that they were counted worthy to be put to death for His name's sake. I had heard of a man one time that had one leg and said he was tempted to complain until he saw a man that had no legs. So it could always be worse. A man heard that his house and everything in it was destroyed while he and his family were away. When he was told that you have lost everything, he replied, nope, I've got my wife, and I've got my family, and I've got my hope in God. In fact, I don't think I've lost very much at all. I thank God for what I've got. It's all in your mindset. So say thank you. It could be worse, but it could be better. As Christians, we're going to have trouble. When we see it, we ought to see the eternal and the invisible God that is always there with us. When a storm comes, what do? I spend time with God. I stand in His presence. I stand on His promises. I say thank you. And lastly, what do when a storm comes? I say, search me, O God. Amen. We talked about this Wednesday. Acts 27, verse 38. Look what it says in verse 38. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So they gave it to God. They ate their last meal. I'm going to eat. I'm going to die just like Elijah. I'm going to eat my meal here under this juniper tree and I'm going to die. Lots of people. But we see here that David said, search me. So they got rid of the excess baggage. And it says here, it would not be right to say that all the storm and all the corrective measures, but it would be okay to say when the storm comes, we could ask God to search us like David did. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 34. Search me, O God. Know my heart and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. So when we're in a storm, ask God to search us. 1 Corinthians 11, 28. Before the Lord's Supper, the Bible tells us that we are to examine ourselves and not to take the Lord's Supper with anything hidden in our life. So again, when that storm comes, treat it just like the Lord's Supper. Are you trying to teach me something? Okay, help me learn. But if it's something that He's trying to correct, Lord, get it out of me. I want it gone. Why? Because I want to examine myself and see if there be any wicked way in me. There's no better time for self-examination than for when you're in a storm. God's got your attention. God's allowed that to come. 1 Corinthians 11, 30. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. And that doesn't mean sleep like taking a nap. That means dead. So when that storm comes, if it's for correction, many are weak because of it, because they won't get right. Many are sickly. Why? Because they won't get right. Many will sleep. Why? Because they won't get right. Thank God for the storm and get right. So it may be a teaching or a correcting, whatever the difference is. Spend time with God, stand in His presence, stand on His promises, say thank you, and say, search me, O Lord. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have a quick invitation. Let's all stand. If there's somebody here today you do not know the Lord is your personal Savior, then He wouldn't be with you in the storm. Come and get saved so He'll be with you in the storm. If you are in a storm or if you're wanting to prepare for a storm, come ask God to help you and plan. And also we have the church doors open today for membership. So, Brother Derek. Thank you.
that was a help to you. Obviously, chew on it a lot. There was a whole lot of information there. Let the Lord help you with that. And just count it down. If there's a storm, He's trying to teach you something, or He's wants to correct you for something. And obviously, there's several things there. We're glad to have Miss Michelle here today, if y'all want to come forward. And Miss Michelle, she's saved and baptized. She's going to join today by statement. She's been coming for a long time now. And we feel like she's already a part, and we're just going to make it official today. And so all in favor of accepting Miss Michelle as a member, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so it is official, all right? And what we'll do after the closing prayer, we'll just go down this side, come across, extend that right hand of fellowship, welcome to her to our church. And again, we're glad to have her as a member. And like I said, we felt like she was a long time. She helped back in VBS, and she's been here for a good while. So but we're glad to have her today. All right, let's see. Brother Jimmy, you dismiss us in prayer, then y'all come around and welcome.